The Upside to the 250 Gigabyte Comcast Cap, If We Fight For It, by Alex Berger. Depending on how up-to-date you are on your tech news, you may or may not be aware that starting October 1st, Comcast is implementing a set 250 gigabyte a month bandwidth cap. Ars Technica has a great breakdown with the background history, which you can read here to get caught up on. While this announcement comes from Comcast, it is representative of troubling behavior and policies which have secretly been in place for years across a number of the major ISPs. If you're a regular reader, you're probably aware of my issues with my own provider, Cox Communications. Regardless of which ISP you're on, if you're in the US, you will be affected eventually. I'm a firm believer that unlimited, or at the very least extremely high daily bandwidth caps, are a hugely important factor in the future of the US as a competitive world player. For a more in-depth look at how broadband is handled abroad and my thoughts on the economic impact, please see my past Part 1 and 2 posts on the technological/digital revolution, available here and here. I would also like to take a moment to be very clear. While I am pointing out a potential upside to the current bandwidth caps, I am in no way a supporter or endorsing them. Right now, ISPs, 1, throttle what they see as peer-to-peer-like activity indiscriminately, and 2, oversell their product offering. In large part, due to a powerful lobbying arm and a lack of competition, ISPs have been able to get away with murder. They make up their own rules, regularly lie to their customers, and generally do as they want. Recently, when the FCC got involved in a case involving Comcast, we saw the start of what may be some accountability in the industry. All of that said, currently there is no pressure whatsoever on ISPs to deliver the service they've sold you. Most providers bill their services as unlimited, but have near-secret soft caps. Because of the nebulous nature of the service description provided, and the lack of understanding most users have of how their high-speed cable bill works, there are seldom any challenges to this lack of service or delivery. The upside. With set caps, the ISPs are defining a fair use limit, which I assume will be legally binding. Previously, users were provided with the speed tier they were paying for, 7 megabytes for example, and the price. Now, price, speed, and bandwidth have been laid out in concrete terms. This is significant because it removes any valid claim on the ISP's behalf that super users, typically peer-to-peer users, are clogging the pipes, slowing down other users, and destroying ISP's profitability by using excessive bandwidth. The ISPs have now defined for us, the consumer, what constitutes fair use and the service we are paying for. So long as Comcast users use less than 249.99999 gigabytes of bandwidth a month, they're within the allotted bandwidth they've paid for. There is no grounds for ISPs to throttle peer-to-peer and other similar traffic, as it cannot be claimed that peer-to-peer gaming and multimedia users within their allotted bandwidth are abusing the network, especially since ISPs cannot differentiate between legal peer-to-peer usage and illegal peer-to-peer usage. There are hundreds of legal uses for peer-to-peer software, and throttling it because of the possibility of illegal use is like banning email because it is used by Nigerian bank scammers. Further, the current throttling activities being used by some ISPs may hinder streaming media, particularly online video games, which rely on a constant, timely exchange of data. This is a point being largely ignored and under-realized, and one which the ISPs will work to overlook. They made their bed, and now it's time they lay in it. Get your hands off my data and out of my pockets. Cox quotes. The following are quotes from a recent exchange I had with Chris, a high-level technician at Cox responsible for monitoring customer complaints across newsgroups, blogs, and other similar web resources. It took a lot of back and forth, but he confirmed several extremely revealing things about Cox's customer policies and network maintenance. I quote, "If my previous fails to answer you question on this issue, I simply do not know how to answer your question. What I can tell you is that streaming media and online gaming work with our service, and you will observe no impact on the performance of these functions." In bold, if you are asking if out-network management practices affect these services, I can tell you that because I cannot tell you that because I simply do not know. If you are observing performance-related problems with online gaming and streaming media, there is a problem that we need to fix." End quote. This comes from the end of our 14-email exchange after extensive back and forth. It is important to note that the discourse started because I posted audio of a Tier 1 tech telling me Cox did throttle peer-to-peer, and a Tier 2 tech telling me immediately after having been escalated that they did not hinder any traffic whatsoever. What I find revealing is that when pressed repeatedly, he still gives me a concrete answer, saying that media and gaming won't be affected, but in the very next sentence contradicts any credibility he has on the subject when stating that he has no idea how or what they do to manage peer-to-peer traffic. Second quote, "I know of no technology that can be differentiate between legal and illegal traffic. The primary goal of our network management policy is to ensure that all of our customers have adequate bandwidth and to prevent heavy users from denying service to others." End quote. I'd like to reiterate that peer-to-peer technology is an amazing resource and used for countless legal tools and applications. One such use is my peer-to-peer-based library modernization project. There is no valid reason for its restriction, regardless of the hogwash RIA and other lobbyist groups have tried to convince us of. Quote 3. Begin quote. "As far as a heavy user is concerned, we are basically trying to prevent a situation where a single customer or a group of customers is overutilizing their connection to the point that it prevents the remaining customers from using their connection and achieving speeds at or close to the advertised rates. There is a fundamental flaw with the suggestion that you should be able to utilize your connection without any restrictions until reaching the stated monthly caps." In bold, I've highlighted, "The problem is, with the speeds we are offering our customers now, you could easily reach those stated caps within a couple of days." End of bold. Such a high utilization in such a short span of time would likely cause a denial of service to other customers, such as I described above. As far as enforcement of the advertised caps are concerned, due to the lack of an accurate customer-facing tool to monitor usage, we have been lenient with enforcement with regards to this abuse issue." End quote. I understand this argument, but I don't buy it. When you pay your taxes to maintain city and state roads, it's an all-you-can-eat setup. This is no different. By the same bar, when traffic in one area or another becomes particularly congested, the government doesn't turn your car off or flatten your tires. They improve the roads and increase their capacity and load to service demand. The limitation is how much gas you buy, or in this case, monthly bandwidth you pay for. If you're a Cox subscriber, you're probably curious what your monthly caps are. If you're on their standard plan, you might be surprised to learn that you're only getting 40 gigabytes of downstream and 10 gigabytes of upstream a month. To put that in the perspective, that's less bandwidth in a month, up and down combined, than the Japanese are allotted in a two-day period. The real kicker? They're also paying less, and their available speeds are significantly higher. You can view Cox's full cap and breakdown from the original post. This has been a post on virtualwayfarer.com. Thank you for listening.